Scavenge Audio.
Foie gras, pulled pork, bok choy, squid ink, dining with Doug and Karen.
Hey everyone, I'm Doug. Hello.
Hello, Doug. I'm Karen. Hi.
Hi. And this is Dining with D.
And K.
Yes, those are our initials. We're finally getting somewhere with this opening.
We're really doing it.
Yes.
Also names of housewives on Long Island. D and K.
For reals?
D-double-E and K-A-Y.
I don't watch that show.
That's from the Desperate Housewives?
No, just some housewives on...
Oh. He's just making a housewives of on
That's
Long
her name,
Island
D,
reference.
D and K.
Yeah, D and... Yeah, that would be their names.
Yeah, it does... Maybe people will think when they just hear the title that it's a woman named D and another woman named K.
Even when they listen, they might.
That'll draw them in.
Yeah.
Hey, great.
They'll be like, that woman has a deep voice.
How did those two get a podcast?
Let's just call each other D and K from now on.
All right,
on.
D.
Don't use
our
actual
I'm
names.
B.
B is here.
D and K.
Yeah.
Bill Dwyer, hilarious stand-up comedian and longtime colleague and friend, is here.
Oh.
What a fan I am.
Joining us
and I'm not,
for
I know you're looking at me funnily,
chatting
but
and
I'm
chewing.
Not kidding.
What's that?
I'm a fan, a big fan.
Oh, yeah. Who is it?
Well, I don't know. I just am, though.
I could name you some crowds that
Look
weren't.
At this. We got a little sparkly business here.
there's plenty of crowds that weren't that happy with Bill Dwyer.
There you go, Bill.
Thank you.
Give that a whirl.
They weren't happy with Bill Dwyer.
No, they were not.
With B?
No.
Yeah, I feel better.
Stupid things.
You want some of this, Karen? You want to get in on this Prosecco?
It's
a little sparkly number that, you know, champagne-y, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not my thing, really.
Oh, you don't want it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I'm not saying I don't want it. I'm just not going to have it.
Delicious.
It is.
You know what's funny is I asked him he just said, can I get you anything? This guy's too much already. I mean, we're not going to bring up where we are yet, but or can we?
Sure.
Okay, it's Amarone. Is that how you'd say it?
I believe so, yeah.
It's Italian. It's like you walk in here and you feel a little bit like you're in Europe a little bit. Am I wrong?
It does. It's got a real European feel.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Corners are rounded. Stucco.
Yeah. A rock.
This guy.
Iron.
Sandro.
Thing. Sandro.
Yes.
He's definitely Italian.
Got a plate flying in there, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, hey, easy.
Hold it. Oh, the wallet's out.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
get your wallet off the table. What kind of...
wallet on the table? People only put phones on tables, Bill.
Well, what do you do with your wallet? You put it in your front pocket?
No, it's just in my butt pocket.
You just sit on it?
Yeah, because
really?
Then... Yeah, because then every time I move a little bit, I'm like, I've got a lot of money in my butt pocket.
Do you ever have any back problems with that?
Right.
No, because I also have in my other back pocket, I have all my
dynamite?
Comedy notes.
I've got a
dynamite.
Pocket full of dynamite.
Okay. I have all my comedy notes in the other pocket, so there's stuff in both pockets.
It's even.
But yeah, it's probably still... I could probably be more comfortable and have less back problems, but... Or I could carry a purse, I guess.
Yeah.
What was the last comedy note
I like to have a lot of stuff with me, you know?
What was the last comedy note you wrote? What did you...
Oh, my goodness.
Did you write it on the way over here?
I probably wrote down some sort of joke. Yeah, I'm just always writing jokes on scraps of paper, and I got a big stack of them in my pocket. When the pressure's on to come up with jokes, I go through it.
Yeah.
Because I don't
That's
do stand-up.
Do.
Yeah, I write them
down
on my...
I do stand-up constantly. Yeah, on your phone.
I write them in my note sack. Oh, you have
Look
the
at,
thing.
He's got a pad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like that. Look at that. Look at the size of that. Don't you love a good notebook?
What's your last one? God. Let's look and see.
I'm just always writing on napkins and stuff, you know.
I might have a little something.
I'm always just grabbing something and writing on it. Like a flag.
Oh. Yeah, I got one. This is what...
I got a vagina joke.
What is it? Oh, I have a dick joke. What's yours?
Well, mine is...
Yeah, maybe you could put one of them into the other.
The whole thing. Maybe we can squeeze, put that... Yeah. You just said it. Why do I... I'm trying to... The whole bit was about how a man's sexual apparatus is just right there. It's basically a stick. That's it. It's a hard stick. That's it. The harder, the better. That's it. Your stick. But the vagina is like, it's such a mystery. It's like two guys like looking down a well, and one guy goes, you know, one guy goes, oh, look at that hole. And the other guy goes, oh, no, there's a series of aqueducts in there and these bridges that move water. And you can't believe the, you know, the amount of the mechanism that's in there. And the other guy goes, I'm just going to throw a quarter in there. And that's it.
Oh, he thinks it's still a well.
Yeah, it just yeah. He has no appreciation of the.
He never gets over the fact that it's still a well.
It's just a big hole that you can throw a quarter into. And the other guy, everything.
What's the first thing the guy says?
The one guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, look at that. Look at the hole or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought the joke was going to be, oh, look at the hole. Oh, look at the hole. And the other guy goes, you didn't have to say that twice. And the first guy goes, I did it.
Well, that's the greatest.
That's the deep
vagina joke ever. Yeah. Yeah. That's also the.
Well, my sister
and then
was.
I saw another guy in there, and he goes, "Help me find my keys, and we drive my truck out of here." There's that one.
There's that one.
The giant vagina joke.
Oh yeah, let me get my keys and drive my truck out.
There's a lot of those. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Throw a bunch of leaves over it and catch a tiger.
I
remember when a friend of mine was trying to write a giant vagina joke book. You know.
Like a coffee table book or something.
Yeah,
something you buy like at Barnes and Noble. I mean,
it would just be giant vagina size. Yeah, it wouldn't be as big.
I hope it isn't a pop-up book.
That would be the
pop-in book.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, ask me if you've ever.
This is your jokes that you've written?
Well, this is just, I wrote it down because I thought it was funny. But my sister was over this weekend, and she goes, "We were talking about a good-looking guy that had just sort of walked by us," and she goes, "I've never heard this saying. I don't know if it's a real saying." She said she made it up. She goes, "You could feel the wind of his dick."
Oh.
I thought it's kind of poetic in a weird way.
Yeah,
you know?
I picture a whistling dick, but okay.
You can feel his wind in his dick in the wind.
Yeah, like it's causing more wind in your direction because it's, you know.
Well, I'm dying.
Jutting out.
Imagine if your dick hole was so big that it like made a flute noise, like when it got windy out.
Oh, they
like,
do. They do. I can
imagine
sometimes
the pants you'd be wearing at the time. Why would?
Well, you'd be wearing linen pants, linen.
You can blow in it. You can't, but you can blow in it, and you call it the
jorts.
Piccolo. That's what they call it. The dickolo.
Really?
The dickolo.
Is that what you gals do?
I've heard of we've called it the dickolo before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's an instrument.
No. We're way more
the things
way
they
more
say at their book clubs.
We're way more appreciative of your sexual organs.
The dickolo. Come on, that's a good one.
Yeah. So I did write down you can't spell vagina without vague. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that means, but
well, you've also got that extra E and U that you got nothing to do with.
I know. Nobody. Yeah, you can't question everything.
Oh, no.
No, you can't. Not if you say them fast enough.
As a lazy lover and lazy joke writer, you can't question everything.
If you just rattle them off, nobody can question it.
No one else sweating? Just me.
I find myself to be perfectly comfortable up here.
All right.
But that could change. You've been here longer. You drinking wine.
Wine?
Yeah, this Prosecco
that warms you up, don't it?
Yeah, I do.
Are you enjoying that Prosecco?
It's a delicious Prosecco.
This is really good wine.
I learned recently it comes from the forest of Prosecco.
Can I taste this?
Yes, I was just going to say, please take some forest of Prosecco.
Do you mind if I do this?
No, do what you need to do.
When was the last time you watched Sideways, huh?
Oh, that's a great movie. That's a great movie.
A lot of noses going into wine glasses in that movie. More than any other movie.
Isn't that good? Don't you feel like you're on the coast of Italy somewhere in the Mediterranean?
Never been there.
Oh, you gotta go.
There's a new wine country movie on.
I gotta do a lot of shit
on Netflix.
I gotta go to Italy
with Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph and all their friends.
Wine country.
Yeah,
it's called
wine country. But I wonder if they have as much nose in wine glasses as Sideways did.
No, I'll bet you not.
They might top it. They might top it.
I'm not gonna say anything. Saw
it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh.
And they don't do this?
Well, there's a joke about Bill was in the movie. There would be a similar joke.
Does somebody
joke.
Like drink?
Pretty much
like,
what you just
does
said.
Does somebody drink something weird in that movie? I'll bet you they do. Something
not
drink
like
something
the other
raunchy?
One.
It's not like Paul Giamatti. I can't
it's
remember.
It's so gross when he drinks all the spittoon wine.
Right. There's that.
It's a maritage. That's what they call that.
Oh, really?
It's a mixture of wine.
The bucket? No.
Well, you could call it that if you'd want it to.
Well, you wouldn't because
well, you would.
A mixture of spit out wine.
Yeah, I know it.
So why would you give it any pleasant-sounding name?
I was going to pretend like somebody uses that and makes a wine out of it. They call it a Meritage.
Gross.
I was making that up, pretending about it.
Marilogi.
You're grossing me up. Out.
You're disgusting. Anyway, Bill, thanks for being here.
Thanks. I really appreciate you guys having me, because I was driving home and I was going to get some sort of a lonely dinner, and I was super excited that I got the last minute call to do this.
And you got all dressed up?
Yeah, I took a shower. I thought it might be like super funny if like I put on like a ton of like really shitty cologne just to ruin everybody's meal.
Oh God, it would have.
And then
too.
I thought, well, no, it's because it's going to ruin my meal too.
Yeah, I'm so happy you didn't
do
that.
And I did not. No, that's I just have a nice. I have some sort of an amber something body wash.
Look at this. Amber body wash.
Yeah, some sort of an amber musk.
That's
nice. Amber musk. So,
good bread, you guys.
If anybody wants to smell me,
real good bread.
Yeah.
Doug, he brings up a point though, in a way. Do you think we should start wearing costumes for these things? Like, you know. We have, you know, like you see some people on their podcasts, like Karen and George. You know, I always bring them up because they're the only podcast I know. But they always wear like a kind of a, I don't know, I guess I'd say a 60s kind of dress, the two of them. Kind of 50s, 60s sort of look. You know, they have, yeah, they have like a look about them, you know.
Okay.
I only have button-down shirts though, so, no.
Yeah,
you
I
can
don't
wear
know
that.
If we need.
A tie, bow tie.
I don't know about costumes.
Oh, what do you think,
Bill?
You
know, I think
a theme. I think it's a great idea for any podcast. You tell
a
people
theme.
Our theme is so wear this, please. Can we have some salt, please? Is there any salt
for what? Oh,
for my olive oil.
Oh, I didn't realize we had the food.
Some sal. They call it sal. Thank you.
You know, you always have to
That's
ask for salt.
That's how confident
these days.
They are in their own seasoning that they give you the tiniest salt imaginable.
Well,
settle down, mister.
The last place we went to, speaking of mister, was Mr. O's, and you didn't need any salt or anything. Everything was just, now here we're going to go like, we need salt. I shouldn't have said salt.
I don't think we're going to need anything here. I looked at the menu after I got the call.
I did,
like,
too.
Like, I did my research. Yeah.
That's so weird. That's exactly what Sandro.
No, he knows, though. He did his research?
He told me. Did you do your... He goes, I did my research on your podcast. Did you do your research on my restaurant?
Oh.
He was joking, but...
But I did.
And you did, and you bring it up.
Right. I mean, they got great appetizers here. It's a limited menu. It's not like Norm's, you know?
No, it's not like Norm's.
Yeah.
Norm's would be good, though.
I mean,
the
you
old
do.
Norm's or the Norm's that does breakfast burritos?
Oh, I don't know. Norm's what?
When? Yeah, there's a Norm's in Burbank that does breakfast burritos.
No,
stuff.
I'm talking about Norm's.
You're talking about Denny's.
With the bad commercials and $13.99. Norm's has some sort of an all-you-can-eat ribs thing, I think, going on now.
I can't stand it. I'm not going to get through this.
Do you guys get the Yoshinoya coupons in the mail?
Oh, God.
No.
Yes. What's so funny about that?
Everything he says to me is funny. He's like one of those people.
Oh, that would be exhausting.
You're like, you know who else does that to me? Is Jeremy Kramer. Every single thing he would say makes me laugh. Everything you say,
guy.
Bill, makes me laugh. And I can't
could,
help it.
I could listen to Jeremy Kramer sing, the Skirball Center for Jewish American Studies all day long. I love it.
Oh, shit. Anyway, the what is it called?
What are you trying to say?
Well, I don't know what he was saying.
Yoshinoya?
Yeah, you get those in the mail, all the time.
And they're always good. Two for one. I love
them?
Yoshinoya.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I use Del Taco coupons. 2-for-1 bean and cheese burrito.
Oh, okay.
No, he likes the other kind. No, it's the best deal in L.A.
And 2-for-1 Yoshinoya is pretty sweet.
How much is it, though? This is $1. For 2 huge burritos to give your kids. They love it.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that. In fact, Del Taco used to have 50-cent burritos, like smaller ones for the kids.
59 cents now.
Yeah. I don't know. Do they still have those?
Yeah.
Burritos.
Yeah.
They're small for kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four bucks
a piece?
$4 for Yoshinoya?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
$1, I'm talking.
Pickled
2 meals.
Ginger?
Oh, the dollar menu at Taco Bell's kicking ass right now.
What do
by
they
the
have?
Way. They got like a little,
well, the
little beef
burrito,
or chicken quesadilla.
Good. Yeah.
What is it? Frito?
They got some sort of a nacho burrito.
Yeah, no, where you have like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, I do.
I'm talking about the new dollar menu.
Yeah.
I don't think it has a nacho thing on there, but a nacho burrito, does it?
I don't think so.
Maybe. But anyway, they got a bunch of littler things, but they're only a dollar each, and they're not that small, so it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Have you checked out this bread yet? I know you're trying not to, but I'm talking about pick up that piece right there, not the one you did, but the other, that next one.
This one?
Yeah, this one.
Why this one?
Yeah, because check out the
crunch.
The crust on it is it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know what's going on there.
Mm.
What do you think that is?
I'll tell you what
it's
it
reminds so good,
me of.
Especially
it
with the
Dutch,
oil.
Dutch crunch roll.
Yeah?
You ever have that? They have them in San Francisco. Dutch crunch.
No.
Oh, that's really good. It's pretty much all butter. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah. It's really, really
good. It's fried butter. That's what it is.
Mm. I got no problems with that. I do the...
Just the bread alone, folks.
I do the butter coffee in the morning.
Oh, you do do that.
Anybody?
No, but I've heard...
Anybody else do that?
Tell me what happens with that.
You froth it up with an immersion blender or a regular blender, whatever sort of blender you want. And then you get this, like, it's like a latte. It's delicious.
But isn't it supposed to help you lose weight?
Yeah, because you're just eating fat. Well, you're not eating much. You're eating calories with fat, and then you don't eat again until, like, 2 or 3 o'clock. And then you have an egg. And then
butter
for dinner...
On it? And you can have more butter if you want?
Sure, you can have butter all day long.
Doesn't hurt your heart?
Fucking stick your spoon in a big thing of cashew butter and just chow on that.
Well, that's not butter.
No, but it's good for you. It's nice and fatty. Without sugar. No sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Do you ever do that?
And then what happened? Wait, he didn't get to dinner yet.
Oh, dinner.
Well, then what do you do?
Then you have like a, you know, some sort of a salad with meat on it.
Oh, I like that.
So it's like a low-carb thing, but more fat involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Way more fat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So good for you.
And less red meat, but some.
But are you on that diet?
Yeah, you know, kind of.
But the butter thing you like in the coffee.
Yeah.
It's really good? All right, I'll go
try it.
I would like to just try it.
Yeah.
Because I see...
Yeah. Just throw a bunch of butter into your coffee?
And
like
whip
it up? Two tablespoons or even, you know, like 2 tablespoons is a good amount. But if you want something really creamy, throw 3 in.
And but you also have like cream and sugar in there too?
How is that good?
It's just the butter.
Yeah, you can do...
The butter's enough flavoring
to
make it interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Here we go.
Some more of this.
I'm going to try one of these guys then. Oh, wait. Are you going to finish yours, Karen?
No, you can have it.
All right. Oh, you're right. Oh, it is delicious.
Oh, you had, yeah, that one, huh?
I apologize to anyone who might be listening. I have food in my mouth.
Oh.
I mean, that happens. It must
happen. That's
going to
happen on this show. Yeah.
Right, so you go like this.
Yeah, you lean back and you try not
you
to talk when you're
back.
Chewing.
Kids, who's with me? Who knows?
Big Joe? Is that his name?
Oh, I was going to show you a picture, Doug.
What?
I know, but I'm going to put it on our what is it called? Instagram.
We'll
I'll do
see.
This for you too, Bill.
Okay, so it'll be like Shrek 4D for the listeners, right? It'll be like that.
Okay, here's what you got to
do. I love the 4D.
You got to guess
it usually means you're getting sprayed with a little bit of water.
Yeah. Or a bug goes underneath your
seat. Right, right. Yeah,
what?
All right, I'm on, I'm not going to tell you what lot I'm on working.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll give it away, probably.
Okay.
But what house is this
Do we
from?
Get to guess?
Yeah, this is from a TV show.
Oh,
that's the Leave It to Beaver house.
Oh, bingo. Were you going to say that?
And it was also used in Pleasantville.
Oh, really?
It was also the home for Marcus Welby, M.D.
Why, what lot are you on?
Radford. But I was going to guess this was... I looked up. I thought it was the...
it's not?
I thought it was 8 is Enough. You're right. It's a Leave It to Beaver house.
Okay. So it's your Universal.
Leave It to Beaver's
no.
a Universal.
Well, no. They rebuilt this one for the movie. Or for, the 1997 movie or something like that.
Oh, my God. There was
so
a Leave It to
so
Beaver
a,
movie?
But it's a fake Beaver house.
You know, I looked it up. No, this is it's a rebuilt. But
look, you're talking to a former tour guide at Universal Studios, and I remember pointing out that were you a tour guide?
Yeah, we both were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would point out.
I thought they said that was
Beaver.
On Radford.
Later
there.
On, that became the house for a doctor
wrong,
named
then.
Marcus Welby, M.D.
Maybe that house is growing pains, because it's on the Radford.
That kind of looks like the 8 is Enough house.
That's
too.
What I thought. But
oh,
it's
you
not.
Thought it was 8 is
no,
Enough.
No, then I looked up 8 is Enough. It's not it.
You know what? Those Radford people are liars.
Huh,
they,
I'm going to look it up again.
When did they come around? Universal's been there since 1918. It's one of the first studios. Radford, what? came out when? 2004?
No.
They have nothing.
It was called something else before it was
Rush. No, it was nothing.
Like MTM Studios. It was Mary Tyler Moore's Jam.
Yeah, with Grant Tinker.
With him.
Yeah.
I know, but he wasn't on anything.
No, he wasn't on anything.
But he produced it.
Produced everything.
Yeah, they have.
If you don't get down on your knees every goddamn night and thank Grant Tinker for quality television, I don't want to talk to you.
That was CBS back then, correct?
Yeah, that was. He probably had two or three shows on that Saturday night. Bob Newhart, I think, was Grant Tinker.
Rhoda.
Was MTM.
No, yeah, the whole goddamn night.
Then Rhoda.
Yeah.
They
didn't do MASH.
He didn't do MASH. He didn't do All in the Family.
No.
But then he rolls in, and then they get Rhoda, and they spin her off into some other night. Cloris Leachman. Phyllis had a show.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember the name of Phyllis's show. Phyllis, probably.
Well, I think it was Phyllis. When are you performing next? Stand up.
I don't know. But I'm doing two shows at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. One of them is completely sold out.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm really excited about it.
But when are you going to be like other places where, like, are you going to be in the Bay Area anytime soon, for instance?
Nah, nobody wants to see me.
Yes, they do.
No. I look too much like a cop, and, you know, I'm
people
so
love
racist.
That. It's good. There's plenty of people that like it.
No, everybody thinks I'm a Trump supporter.
You're not, right?
No. Are you kidding?
I don't know.
No.
San Francisco's changed a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's all, you know, it's all the tech companies.
Yeah, well, we already
overrun.
Know about that damn Google.
Is San Francisco uptight now?
Not uptight, but they're certainly not as loose
cool.
as they used
it's
to be.
It's very woke, I'm sure.
I don't
you know.
Think so.
Semi-woke.
I think they're cooler than they are woker.
You can't do any more jokes about fucking dwarfs, probably.
They won't even get it.
Right. Well, it's not funny either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have to try something first before condoning jokes about it.
you
know what I mean? Get with a dwarf and then complain.
Yeah.
If the experience was spiritual, then you got a right to complain.
So, you were going to go home. What would you have if you didn't come here?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to, I could have had a salad with meat. You know, I'm not afraid of,
make it yourself or get one.
Yeah, no, I would make it myself. But I kind of had a hankering for pizza, in which case I would get something and then doll it up when I got home. Throw a little mozzarella on it.
Doll
you know,
it
maybe.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever put like any like artichoke hearts on there or jalapeno, something like that?
No, neither one of those.
Do you throw a little olive
pepperoni?
Oil on at the end?
I do sometimes, yeah. That's really good.
That's Italiano.
Yeah, that really is. I wonder if we're going to get... Oh, they don't do pizza here from what I saw on the menu.
No. And I also remember we asked... Oh, he said, come up. You said he's going to be here any second. I was like, make it 8 minutes or so. I think it's been like a good 20.
Well, that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I don't either.
So do we always do that? We always talk to the proprietor
yeah.
of the establishment?
Yeah. Right. Either, well, whoever wants to be the, you know, voice of the restaurant. Sometimes
right.
it's the owner or the manager or the chef. Or in some cases, we talk a lot to whoever makes the specialty drinks. Here, this is more of a, you know, a wine and
right.
beer situation.
I think they only said, do they? Okay. This place kind of makes my heart sing. I just love that we're in a little upstairs part. And there's just like six tables.
Right.
You know, it's probably seating for 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, maybe 20 people. It's just, there's windows leading out. We've got a wonderful view of the telephone wires and this apartment building.
Yeah.
And it's just,
and
it's
opera
just
music.
Really sweet. Yeah, and opera music.
Great just, job counting the seating because it's 24 seats. You're very close.
Is it really? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say 24, but okay, yeah. But it's just great. Imagine if this place was packed. Of course, it'd be horrible doing the podcast, but...
Right, but you never know. We did a couple of packed ones.
Really?
And it's not
Where?
So bad.
Norms?
The ambiance.
Where?
Norms.
Norms? Burrito Norms or
oh
regular
God.
Norms?
I think Norms closed down. You know, they had
Norms
like...
did not close down.
No?
Please explain all those
Which
awful
Norms
commercials.
Are you talking about?
I'm talking
Please
about...
Please explain all the non-union commercials then that I see.
Norms, I feel like on Burbank Boulevard in Burbank.
Hmm.
It's Norms, right? And it's got terrible food.
It's well, a diet. It's like Bob's or something.
There's a Norm's on La Cienega been there forever.
All right, I might be thinking of something different then.
Yeah. Norm's is a big chain that's, you know, but it's Denny's-like. It's not
It's not great,
but it's
I had like
good.
A roach, someone else had a spider, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But that could, maybe I'm a wrong place.
Well, guys, maybe you guys need to order better.
Yeah. What's the spider?
Why would one of you have a roach and another one have a spider?
It was,
they probably had other things on the menu.
Where's Sandro?
Other insects on the menu. Well, that's the thing about this show is we got to go to a break, and there's no better time than when you've got a cliffhanger like, did the person running this establishment decide to just leave, or is he going to come up here and talk to us? And will he come talk to us as soon as I say, let's go to break? Because that's what I think will probably happen. We'll be right back. It looks like some food is headed our way.
Oh, my.
This is a beef carpaccio.
This is Sandro, everybody. Owner, and he said sometime chef.
Hello, I saw this when I researched the menu.
I'm the chef when I get into a fight with my chefs.
Yes.
Which happens occasionally. Actually happens rather quickly and often. So that's a beef carpaccio. And Phil, I see you're out of line there, so.
And I also used the wrong plate for bread. this should be my bread plate.
Oh,
I should put my carpaccio
on
there.
You would do such a thing.
Well,
how gauche.
One mistake, and that's about
have
it.
Have a seat.
Sure, let me get some wine glass. So I've got an old 97 Amarone here, since we are at Amarone.
Mm. Right. Oh, good. We'll have to learn what that is.
Well, Amarone, I mean, Amore, is it a, Amore is love, but this is Amar, this is A-M-A-R.
Yes, so Amore is love.
Yes.
Amarone, so Amaro is sour.
Oh.
And Amarone, so anytime you have an one.
Means one.
I'm going to take a picture.
Sour one.
So every time you have an one, it's bigger. And every time you have an eni, it's smaller.
Yeah, okay, right.
Oh, I'm definitely next to an one.
Yeah, or
he's an one. Bill's definitely an one.
No. You've seen me naked. I'm an eni.
An eni?
Well, I meant personality, but anyway.
I just pretend like I'm an one.
Well, I mean, we are Italian, so I understand. You're an unfair advantage.
You do.
So
I'm Irish.
The reason why it's called Amarone is originally we have this wine called Ricciotto, which is a dessert wine, like a sweet wine.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, somewhere, they made a mistake, and they ended up making Amarone. So in regards to that sweet wine, the Amarone is sour. Mm. And so they called it the Amarone. The Amarone is from the Veneto region, from like the Verona area of Italy, with the Romeo and Juliet. Maybe that had something to do with that whole story. And the Amarone is a little different because it the grapes are picked and then they're made to hang on nets. So they kind of become raisiny. The only wine I know of in the world that's made that
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah, so the grapes are made to hang on nets. It's a blended grapes. They have to come from Valpolicella, which is a region, which means Valley of Many Cellars. And it's been around since, you know, the Roman days.
Cellars, so, like where you hide in a tornado, not...
Exactly.
Not guys who are trying to...
Exactly.
Pushing you to get a car.
Move product.
Yeah. Yes. Move product, right.
Well, it's funny you said that because these came out of, fell off a truck, actually. This is a 1997 Amarone.
So,
whoa, really?
Yeah. So right
there.
Hey,
everybody. This is 22 years old.
Yes.
Let's do this
Let's
thing.
Let's
do it. He's older than my youngest daughter.
Let's get one of us all. Yeah, we're going to cheer one more time, I think.
Are we?
Yeah,
we are.
We're going to get a Pikachu.
Oh.
All right. Should we have some food
but
first, or we have this first?
Is this
I always say drink wine first.
Is this wine called an Amarone?
Yeah, so Amarone, okay. There's many, many kinds, all different cellars. So the type of wine is Amarone. Saying Amarone is kind of like saying Chianti. It has to be from a certain region. It has to be made from the
right.
grapes in that region. And and it's got to be made in a certain way.
What do you think? What about Riesling? Is that German, right?
Riesling is German. It's also Austrian. You do have some in northern Italy because we have that Austrian border. Oddly enough, there's a lot of Italians in that by that Austrian border that feel they're more Austrian than Italian. You know, the borders were made way after the people had been living there forever. Oddly enough. So you'll have wines like...
Gerrymandering.
You're right. Yeah.
You have wines like in Italy, which are called like Kerner with a K, which you normally don't have in the Italian alphabet.
I've already butchered it.
You'll have Wichtelmeiner.
Okay. How do you know all this?
I drink a lot.
Yeah. He is a restaurant owner also.
It's the beverage of knowledge.
I know, but he knows everything.
Yeah, if you drink, you learn.
So tell us, this is
So this is a beef carpaccio. It's made a little different than normally. Normally people throw a bunch of arugula on it and some Parmesan cheese. I find that that kind of takes away from the flavor of the actual meat. This is a filet mignon, so I use the highest quality meat to make it. This is done Venetian style.
Oh, my God. Jesus. It's is that good?
Just let the man describe it, Bill.
Cipriani, which is done very different. So you really taste the meat and the quality of the meat.
The meat is joyous.
It is delicious.
Oh,
thank you.
It's rich. Yes. It's rich, but not overpowering.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Good,
and the interesting thing about it is, it's like it's a raw meat, which you would never think in America. We're a little too paranoid about germs and disease. You know, this is just like a raw meat, which is served that way. It's cured a little bit with a little bit of the olive oil and the mustard mayonnaise that we put on it that we make here. Mm. So we make everything here: all our breads, all our pastas, all our desserts. Oh. Everything's
it's
made
so
in house.
Thin.
Oh.
Dig in. You said you were hungry.
Yeah, I've been eating
Sandra?
While you guys were up here talking. You guys were talking nonsense and we were down there eating.
What is the is there a cheese on here? Is this a Parmesan?
Yeah, this is a 24-month aged Parmesan.
So he has listened to the show.
Yeah, he's listened.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know you guys well.
Look at that.
Oh, it's just so good. And you're right, you know. The Parmesan just extra. It's like this part, the meat part.
Well, I think the Parmesan gives that little bit of salt that it needs. Since I opened the restaurant, I always believed in the best ingredients. It shouldn't be a business. You know, a restaurant is something you make a living on, but it shouldn't be a business. A restaurant is like being an artist or being, you know, a person of the clergy or of the religious faith. It's something you do because you're compelled to do it, and you should make it as best as you can. You should get the best ingredients that you can, because it's, I mean, we especially in America, we work so damn hard all day long. So when we sit for that, as Americans, 45 minutes, although in Europe we sit for 3 or 4 hours,
right?
You know, we should have the best wines, the best food, time to relax, to have a conversation, to joke, to have fun, you know, to be with family and feel, you know, how the other person that you're having dinner is, what kind of a day did they have today? And if we're rushing through it, you don't really hear what's going on, you know? You're
right.
Just kind of...
This is more than eating. This is savoring also.
Yes.
I mean, this makes you feel like you're part of something. That's how I feel.
I feel I'm part of it.
Good.
Yeah.
This is good. That's what I mean.
I immediately walked in here and thought, this place is, I can feel it.
Yeah. I'll catch up to you guys.
Really?
No, I'm just joking.
Wait, did you get something?
This is amazing.
Walmart?
This is great.
How was your day today?
Oh, my day started off with, I can't say that.
Carpaccio also?
I got to tell you, I'm on a all carpaccio diet, so
oh, man.
I'm going to have to tap on the next...
Uh-oh.
There he goes.
There he
With
goes.
That, he was gone.
Look, he's going somewhere.
Oh,
he's talking to Italian.
He's going to go yell at somebody.
This is so good.
He's coming. He's from stuff like that. Because I don't want I'm too shy.
We're going to have Antonello bring up a few more of our appetizers.
Antonello.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
Now,
so, yeah, most of the staff here is Italian.
And you're Italian.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a hybrid.
Were you born here?
I was born here. My parents were immigrants.
Okay.
And from southern Italy. And so we grew up, you know, speaking Italian in the house. I spent summers in Italy almost all of my life.
Oh,
because my grandparents were still alive. Yes and no. I mean, yes, because it's a beautiful country. No, because, you know, when you spend 9 months going to school with your friends.
Right,
uh-huh.
You felt torn away every time.
Exactly. And especially when you were in your teenage years.
Right.
When you started to like the little blonde in the front and then, you know, the front of the class. And then, you know, in the summertime, you're gone. And then you find
and
out
your, that... And your grandparents' friends aren't hot at all.
Yeah. They're not.
No.
I'd have to agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by the time I turned 17, I noticed that there were actually neighbors in the
that
had daughters.
No, they're friendly.
Yeah.
Just not that way.
Yeah, it must have been when you got older. You probably didn't have a problem.
When I got older, I started to appreciate it much, much more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And looking back, you wouldn't have traded it in,
I bet. I would never have traded it in. That's, I think, when my love for food came. Oddly enough...
Swimming holes.
Yeah. Yeah, and my family, you know, my dad was... my dad would cook when there was more than... say more than four people. So my mom would cook on a daily basis. But if we had another family coming over or an event, then my dad would take over the kitchen.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And he was a good cook.
A fantastic cook. We actually, when I was growing up, he had a restaurant when I was a little boy.
Did you guys do carpaccio at home?
No, you know, because that's not tradition. That's more of a northern thing. So in my family culture, this is probably something I introduced to my father rather than the other way around because it was from northern Italy. But where we're from in Calabria, we do a lot of the salamis, the soppressatas, the sausage. We do a lot of the cured meats.
Yeah.
Which okay. I have some, which I we made not too long ago. I'll bring you some later, Bill. You can
you
take
some. You
cure
your home. Own meat here?
No.
Okay.
No, because you need special licenses and stuff for that.
Oh.
We cure our own meat at home, and then we share it with our friends.
Could you imagine if you're the bunko squad that, hey, let me see your meat curing license.
How do they know if you're curing it?
Hide those sausages.
Well, I mean, there are some issues, for example, like
bunko
like,
squad.
If you've ever been to Europe, you've noticed that in Italy or in Spain or in France, you see chunks of meat hanging at room temperature,
right?
And then the flavor is spectacular. Here, we're not allowed to do that. So if you have I have a 24-month age prosciutto, which I have to keep in the fridge. Because by law in California, you need to keep everything below 41 degrees or above 141 degrees.
But at home,
degrees.
You have that same stuff at home.
At home, I would never put it in the fridge.
It's laying out on the counter.
I would never put it in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
So if you take, let's say you get something from
So I follow the rules here.
Well, if I go to the deli and I get something, like a nice one, you know, and then I take it home, can I just leave it out, you're saying? Or
because at this point, no, it's not that. It's but at this point, you've sliced it. So it's kind of lost to some degree.
No, let's say I didn't. Let's say
you got a whole prosciutto and hung it up. Yeah, it would be perfectly fine in your house as long as it didn't get into the 80, 90, 100 degrees.
Right.
But if it wasn't at 60 to 68 to 74
degrees. Let's have a prosciutto party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happens is that the fat in the prosciutto softens, right? So as it softens, it melts in your mouth. And I think that's the essence of a good slice of prosciutto. Is that the saltiness in the meat and then the fat rendering in the fatty part, it just melts in your mouth with a piece of bread. It's
exquisite.
It is.
This is exquisite. And this is a carpaccio.
The description
and this is a
carpaccio.
Oh, this is the greatest carpaccio I've ever had.
I've only had like six. Yeah, me too.
Whatever,
I haven't had a lot.
Dozen, whatever. But
this is delicious,
I've never done it at home. Never. Never done it at home.
Are you ever gonna do it at home?
Carpaccio?
Yeah.
No. I can probably guarantee you that I will never do carpaccio at home.
Can he be on every show? Is that possible?
I'd be like sweating.
Shut up!
I'm shaving the carpaccio. What?
I mean, he's a sweat pouring. Dwyer. He could be the D and K.
I know. Well, what else? Then you said you had something else. I can't remember.
So I have the guys bringing up a couple of dishes.
Okay.
We're gonna do octopus.
Oh.
And then we're going to do a fennel salad. So fennel salad is really crisp.
It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Good.
She's always talking about fennel salad.
I love fennel salad. They make it in Chicago.
So I do it with arugula, orange, and shaved Parmesan.
Is there any dairy or anything like that?
The shaved Parmesan. That's about
shaved Parmesan.
I hope so.
Shoot. I want Aristotle. He's all vegan.
Well, you know what? We'll sneak one for him without any Parmesan.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he'll go out of his mind.
He never gets to eat anything.
We'll let it slide. Well, don't worry. We'll feed him.
You don't get to eat. You don't get to talk. Nothing.
He gets to
listen.
What a treat that is.
Yeah.
I have a question. Has a slight taste also of port. Am I wrong?
Well, what happens is as they get older, they tend to get a little bit on the... on the porty side.
Yeah.
A little sweetness, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got that little, like you're saying, pruney, the raisiny.
Yeah, so... So it's kind of like on the fence where...
It's like a David Lynch character.
God, yeah.
But then I'll have him bring up another Amarone that's young and fresh and vibrant.
It's different,
and you'll see that, you'll be more on the fruit, more on the berries, the blackberries, and that type of stuff.
Is this your favorite wine, what you call it this?
You know, I really do love Amarone. I really do. It's one of my favorite. The thing about this, too, is that they tend to be, because of the way they're made, they're higher on alcohol content. So they hover in the 16% range.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting a little higher. Where a typical wine now is between 12 and 14.
That. So fuck you.
Hey, listen. Let's call you an Uber. Wait, a Lyft. I don't want to spend Uber money on you.
I'm fine.
He's
Uber to your car.
I'm fine.
But you notice he hasn't told me to go fuck myself.
No.
That's
no.
what I like. I don't think
that's going to happen.
I think he's going to get a piece of prosciutto to go home.
He knows where his bread is buttered and his coffee is butter.
He knows where his coffee's buttered. He puts butter in his coffee.
Does he really?
Yeah. He knows where his coffee's buttered. That's a funny, you should...
Yeah write that one down in your notebook. Yeah,
that's like a funny, trendy
Bill,
joke.
He puts butter in his coffee.
Did he explain where that came that's from?
No.
No.
I missed that part.
No, oh, yeah, where did it come from?
Where did that come from?
When you do a crowd work, you gotta go, this guy knows where his coffee's buttered. Wait, don't waste that.
Okay, we'll put on that other thing. Yeah.
Bill,
it's like one bite left.
I've got to go out to dinner with Bill all the time because he doesn't let people do something like that. Take away the piece that you want to keep.
Okay. Now.
We got it.
No, but that's good. That's good to have at the table.
What is...
So this is octopus. It's again, like generally served with potatoes. And I try not to do things that are typically done. It's not like I'm trying to reinvent anything. It's just I try to make them a little different. So this is made with a cannellini bean, which is a white Tuscan bean, mm-hmm. or also known as a white northern bean. Some green onion and sun-dried tomato. And then the octopus is, as you'll see, it's extremely tender. And we didn't beat it up against a rock like you've seen on some of those TV shows. Not that I want to criticize anyone. But what the hell, I do want to criticize them.
How do you get it tender?
River monsters?
Pressure cooker?
How much of that stuff do you watch?
No, what I do, you know, my daughter is a big fanatic of the Food Channel.
Yeah,
so I'd have to say I do watch enough of it. I think some of it is really good. I think some other of it is really for TV purposes. You can't really make good food in a limited time of month.
Most of the challenges are so short, like and the best food takes hours or days.
So like this octopus first gets boiled for about 45 minutes. Huh. So if I had to do a 30-minute challenge, I wouldn't be able to do a tender octopus.
Unless you did a pressure cooker, which I've learned about.
Yeah, exactly, which would work. It speeds up things. And then after that, it's taken and then it's seared on a flat grill to get kind of blackened.
That's
so you get
so
that blackened on the outside.
This just in, Bill likes the octopus.
Oh, my God. Remember the early days of TV with real-time cooking shows?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, let's put the pie in the oven. It's going to be in there for 45 minutes. Ooh, okay.
Also, wait till you guys see when we put this on the Instagram. The most gorgeous plate of food.
I'm
going to
get a piece of everything here, including... Yeah. The octopus.
Oh, the perfect bite? That's what you're going for?
Yeah, I'm going for a perfect bite, too. Look at this. This is the kind of thing. I see what you're doing here. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You want people to order two of these.
Oh.
What it is that typically...
Oh, my God.
Typically in Italian dining, an Italian meal consists of three...
so lonely! It's overwhelming!
Good. I like this.
No, but so
this is,
good.
These are the type of emotions that you're hoping people will feel.
Yeah.
But typically an Italian meal consists of three courses.
Crushing. This loneliness. So
he
good.
Loves it.
Good. Now we have much, much more coming. We're still in the first courses.
Oh.
So typically it's antipasto, primo, or like first,
right.
and secondo, which is second.
Secondo.
Yeah,
but
secondo.
Why do they, so at the end, because they say I at the end on the
sometimes
menu.
It's secondi.
Because, okay, so plural is always, so in Italian... a masculine singular ends in O, and in plural, the O changes to an I. Ooh. Typically, there's rules, but there's exceptions to that rule. A in feminine will turn into an E to go into plural.
Okay.
So casa, which is house, would be case in plural.
Case.
Yeah.
Oh, case. So couple houses.
Yeah,
just like
couple.
This too.
So from A to E, and
I'll
the O to
like
I.
This.
Look at what he's loving this so
this
much.
This
you know
good.
What? He's never been to Italy.
Has he not? Well, we'll have to take him. Well, he is now. He's in Italy right now.
I've been
right
to Ireland, which is the opposite end of the spectrum of cooking.
Oh, yeah. What'd you eat there? A shoe?
No, he had some boiled potatoes.
Yeah.
You definitely had some fries. Yeah, some chips. They have
he's really
going to
clean off his
Ireland
whole
right
plate.
Oh. Ireland's doing well with their food.
Good. So he's not just doing this for...
good for them.
Good.
He's actually enjoying the food. This is good.
Are you kidding?
That
look at
this. That's so fresh and delicious. Yeah. Get this away from me.
Are you going to come back here, Bill?
I think so.
Oh, God.
All by myself. I'll be that guy.
I think you take some people here. You have
kids. He lives in Eagle Rock.
Oh, well, so what?
No, I don't think we're going to let him back in here again.
No, anymore. That's
Glendale.
Hey,
no, that's what no, I call Glendale's language. Eagle Rock.
Saying that now, but wait until I'm done. You'll say like we're Bill. Never letting this guy.
But, you know, to Bill's defense, the rest of us look like slobs today, but he's wearing a real nice jacket, real expensive shirt. No, he's looking fantastic.
Really turned it out.
Really
I don't have a fantastic head of curly hair like yourself.
I know.
I struggle
stuff.
With that.
You look like you're ready. Yeah, you look like a pundit on MSNBC right now.
I have nice skin. Okay.
Yeah, you do have nice skin.
I got decent skin.
He's complimenting himself.
Decent skin.
Yes.
No,
so yes. I gotta step
and well-trimmed facial hairs, you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not crazy about the beard.
Distinguished gray.
Bill's more buttoned up, and you're more like, hey, you know,
yeah.
Italian lover guy.
This is a reality show right here.
Well, a lot of times I actually work in the dining room, so I prefer the dining room over the kitchen. So I'll work in the kitchen in the daytime. We don't do lunch here. Because I believe that, you know, you need lunch to prepare everything. Yeah. So you prepare for a few hours, and then you start dinner service. Typically from 6 to 10 or 10:30, and I'm in the dining room, and I'm usually having a glass of wine. I am, you know, having... Most of the people that eat here have become friends over time. Some of my best friends now have started as guests, you know, 8-9 years ago.
Oh, they became guests. This place has been here that long.
Yeah, we've been here since 2012.
Oh,
yeah,
and of course.
How does that work on this street? I mean... Where do people park? I mean, it's like, do the people just take Ubers now?
Well, no, what happens, a lot of people are taking Ubers now. But
I don't know.
Bill!
So I might tackle that guy.
Bill!
There's also a lot of neighborhood right here, you know, even though
it's
Sunset Boulevard.
Walker, yeah.
North and south, there's a lot of people.
And there are a lot of parking lots. You just have to kind of pay for them. So we use our parking lot in the back that's got about 6 spots back there. And if you've ever been to Italy, 6 spots means we'll put 17 cars in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
So the trick is when you come in, bring your car, leave it in neutral so we can push it around.
Yeah.
And
but
we'll
in
push
Italy,
yours
the cars
out.
Cars are the size of your fist.
Yes.
Right.
They're tiny.
They're little tiny.
Yeah.
So for us, the cars are like Rubik's Cubes. So we move them around till we get the perfect fit.
Oh, look at that beautiful salad.
Look at that.
Should we mix that up, Sandro?
Yeah, if you like. Yeah, definitely. It's fennel, arugula. There's a little bit of segmented orange in there. The citrus kind of brings out the
Go ahead, Karen. Mix that
the sweetness
up
in the fennel.
Right. Here, let me get a... You didn't use this one, right?
No.
We use the ones we didn't use. I mean,
so Bill, you want some more of this? Or you want to try a younger wine?
Chef's choice. Whatever you say, sir.
I want you to try the difference between an old, so 22-year-old wine and say something that's 5 or 6. Normally, you won't
get. I can't think of anything that's going to go wrong here. Yeah. I can't think of. Like,
that's sweet of you.
I can't think this was terrible.
You already gave us delicious octopus.
Oh my God, the octopus!
Which, like
about
in
the
sushi
octopus.
Places,
we just
I don't like
milk.
Octopus at all.
I find most places the octopus is not as tender as we make it.
That was so joyous and just the right warmth.
Joyous.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right. You know what?
This whole place is joyous. I'm saying it a lot. I apologize. I know. I'm not a...
Yeah, all the customers down there are trying to eat and not hear the word joyous a million times.
I don't know a lot of words.
You do.
I
think it's true.
Yeah,
what's your, like, playlist? Like, what do you play?
So we play Italian music. We try to get to make you feel like you're in Italy. So it's all of Italian music from old 30, 40-year-old songs to songs that just come out 6 months
modern.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it, what young people are listening today, like I said, a lot of my staff is Italian. Antonello's, you know, early 20s, so whatever he was listening to in Italy a year ago or so, whatever's coming out,
Kanye.
He's ahead of the game.
Is there an Italian
which
rapper?
Which is true, no, don't kid yourself. A lot of Italians are listening to American music.
Oh, no, I know.
There's no doubt. I mean, everybody listens to Kanye, you know, especially his Sunday thing. Yeah. Go Kanye.
How do you go to New York to eat there?
You know, I grew up, I lived in Montreal for many, many years. So, yeah, I've been to New York a lot. New York Italian food is very different than Italian food. So over here, I do Italian food. And the reason why it's different is when the Italians came, this is my perception, of course, I could be totally wrong.
When they came from Italy.
When they came from Italy.
They wanted to start a new thing.
They did. But what happened is that in Italy, most of the people that came from Italy came from Southern Italy. So they came from Southern Italy where it's 100 degrees in the summer and maybe typically 40 degrees in the winter, maybe 30 at night. So it never gets like really below zero, very little below zero. So when they came to New York, it was, you know, 20 below zero. And so they took Italian food and just amped up the carbs. So the pizzas got more cheesy, They got more saucy. Right. They got more meaty. So you put pepperoni and sausage.
Oh, okay, because they needed something to keep them hardy.
To keep them hardy. I mean, they were mostly working on construction. They were working on the bridges, the highways and stuff. So the sandwich or the panini that we have in Italy typically has 4 or 5 or 6 slices of prosciutto. In America, it's got 30 or 40 or 50 slices. So the calorie content goes up dramatically.
Right.
So then we have two foods. We have Italian food, and then we have American Italian.
Mm.
Both equally as good, but different. Mm-hmm. So I also have a pizzeria, because you probably didn't know.
Where's that?
So I have an American Italian restaurant, but in Echo Park, where I love American Italian food, where I make the New York style pizza. I make,
what's it called?
What we call hoagies. It's called Hard Times Pizza.
Of that. Yeah. I'm not sure.
So we make like the Parmesan sandwich, the sausage sandwich, the kind of stuff you'll never find in Italy, because it's not Italian. It's American Italian. Spectacularly good. It's just different. Right. It's not Italian. Here I do strictly Italian. So an Italian restaurant, any Italian restaurant, and I'm going to get a lot of complaints from a lot of people, that has pizza is not a restaurant. Pizza is made in a pizzeria. If you own an Italian restaurant and you're making pizza, stop it.
Oh, really?
Pizzas come from pizzerias. That's why it's called a pizzeria.
Wow.
Yeah. A restaurant makes
shots fired.
Restaurant food. And chicken, you make at home. You don't sell in your restaurant.
So even though you're selling sandwiches at a pizzeria, it's still a pizzeria.
Well, a pizzeria is different because now we're talking New York pizzeria. So it's Americanized. Okay. An Italian pizzeria, if you go to Italy, you'll notice they'll do pizzas, or they do what they call pizza taglio, which is square pizzas, and they cut them. They slide with a scissor.
Yeah.
So they charge you by the kilo. So they say it's like $18 a kilo. And then they'll slice a pizza, put it on the scale, and then do the math, right? The scale does the math.
Oh.
And so that's typically a pizzeria where you go in quickly. Because dinner in Italy is typically at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, pizza's to go. It's not something you sit down at a table with friends and eat.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm liking you more and more, Doug.
You're right? Running.
Yeah, right? You're walking. Yeah.
You're walking or running or... it's
sitting at home on the couch.
I think it's fun to have pizza at a restaurant and use a knife and fork sometimes.
Yes. Well, that's only knife and fork in Italy because they don't slice them.
Oh.
But still, it's not what you have for dinner. It's what you have between lunch and dinner.
Right.
So because dinner's at 9, so around 6 or 7, you're kind of hungry, and you figure, let's go for pizza. You have a slice, or you have a... And the pizzas in Italy, if you notice, they're only one size. They're typically 10 inches, enough for one person. Right? They're not these big...
The whole pizza.
Yeah, the whole pizza itself is the size of a typical dinner plate.
It's a pan pizza. That's what we call them in America. Yeah. It's a pan pizza.
Do they have cheesy dough over there?
Individual pan. Do they stuff the dough with
bacon?
Is there cheesy crusts?
Not yet. But I bet you somewhere in Italy there's a Domino's because there's a McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can.
Let's try to think about it. That's not good.
Everywhere.
Have you ever been to this place in New York called Emilio's Bellato?
No, I haven't.
I think it's Southern. My dad went there. My dad thinks he's in the mafia.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to meet the guy, and it is very... if you went in there, you'd be like...
Because if your father thinks he's in the mafia, he's in the mafia.
He was a bookie.
You just don't know
anybody.
He was a bookie growing up.
Okay. My dad was a bookie growing up.
Mm.
All right.
Mm.
So we go there, and my dad goes to the guy, the owner, Emilio, and he goes, "I loved your food." My dad's not Italian at all. Oh. "I loved your food. I'm going to have my people from San Francisco come here." I'm like, "Your people? Who the fuck are you talking about? Who are your people? You take the dog down to the coffee shop with your friends in the neighborhood." Mr. Anderson. Dick Anderson from Allstate Insurance. "I'm going to send my people." And I just think it's the funny. Do you get like guys like that are very like, "Oh yeah, this is Italian. I'm Italian. This is good."
Yeah, we do. But, oddly enough, a high percentage of my customer base are either locals or Europeans that come year after year.
Oh.
So a lot of people come, because of the movie industry. So they'll come for the Oscars, they'll come for the Emmys. So they'll be like from Germany or Austria or Switzerland or Italy or France or Spain. They come 6 or 7 times a year. They come for special movie events.
Do they get a special room up here?
Well,
or downstairs?
No, they up or down, which is equally they're both as popular. Some people prefer the upstairs. Some people prefer the downstairs. Like, I personally prefer the downstairs. I feel a little claustrophobic up here, but some people love it up here.
I love the claustrophobic feeling.
See, there you go.
I love that. I was saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great space.
Would you enjoy catering the Oscars if they asked you to do that?
You know, that becomes a bit of a problem because you're talking about 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people.
You've got to make garbage food when it's that many people.
I think you can make good food, but you'd have to fight with the Oscars and tell them what you want to make. So, for example, if you made a spaghetti.
Yeah.
Oh. And you made, say, a spaghetti. Let's make it simple. A spaghetti and a red sauce.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with the spaghetti and the red sauce, while it's waiting for the people from the Oscars to show up and stop kissing and taking pictures and stuff, it won't hold very well.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
So you have to tell whoever the guy is, says, no, I'm not making spaghetti, I'm making rigatoni. I mean, I do a lot of weddings for people or special events for them. And I'll say, no, I won't make that dish. And if they insist, and I will not cater.
Yeah, and they usually don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Right.
They know they want a certain thing.
Right. They want a dish, and you can have that dish if you're having it on the spot. Some dishes you can't have them sit and wait. Some dishes don't wait for anybody. There's a saying, right, in Italy that we say, risotto waits for no one.
That's
so
true.
Risotto is ready when risotto is ready, not when you decide it's ready. It's when it decides. The risotto decides when you're going to eat it, not you.
Yeah. That's right. Because if you wait too long, it's all sticky.
Risotto is going to
It's like Axl Rose.
So the reality is that you can do those. You just have to be a little more, you have to be a little more assertive about your food and say, listen, this dish will work better in that situation.
All right. How about this question? If they gave you one dish to give to the Oscar, to the 1,000 people, what would you pick?
What's with you and the Oscar?
I would say the...
I just love the idea of... I would eating the octopus.
Well, you know who
I would do
a
ravioli.
You would.
Yeah, I think I make the best raviolis that I've, you know, that. And I mean, if you read the reviews on the restaurant.
Really?
By the way, we've been rated number one restaurant in West Hollywood on Open Table.
What?
Again this month.
Really?
Congrats.
They do that monthly?
Every month they pick tables. They pick different restaurants. They pick. So once we won for all of LA.
Yeah.
The best restaurant
Way
in
to
LA.
Go. Really?
We win top Italian in West Hollywood often enough, which is nice because you're competing against restaurants that have spent $4, $5, $10 million. I mean, you've been to most of them, Bill.
No. Norms? Are we talking about Norms?
Yeah, they spend a couple hundred thousand on
Norms. Spaghetti, I believe.
Don't knock Norms. Their steak and egg dinner, breakfast.
You love
steak
and egg dinner?
Okay.
At 4 in the morning, what do you think I'm eating?
I
Fred,
love
you're
it.
Not here.
No, I mean, the funny thing is I usually, when I leave here, I don't realize I'm hungry because I've been making the food or dealing with the food.
Right.
And then when I get in my car and I get out there, then I'm hungry. And I'll give a plug.
Norms
Greenblatt's, that's another one.
Oh,
nothing like a good pastrami sandwich or their chicken noodle soup.
Right.
I mean,
they
that's
go
some
late
good
too.
Food. Yeah, they go all night, I think. I mean, they're usually there when I go.
Yeah.
And you can actually have a glass of Brunello, like a really good Italian or good French wine, at there. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
like they have they have wines that are spectacular. Mi porto una bottiglia di Amarone, quello fresco, per favore. No, quello nuovo. Quello, il Provolo. E porta anche il Cavatappo, per favore.
Yeah. It's like I can't believe you just fired that guy.
That was Spider. Did you see him living?
Hey, he deserved it. We shot him once, he didn't get it.
Hey, what the fuck? Hey!
But it's also like when you're cooking at home, you totally forget to eat.
Yeah.
And you realize when you go to bed, you're starving.
You're always worried about your guests.
Yeah. You know. Making it good.
Well, another
thing
here
too. When I wake up, I'm starving, and then I'm so lonely.
Oh, Bill, what's happening?
It's the food. It's bringing out so many emotions. It's so good. Did you try this?
I like
this.
Did you try
this? Listen, let me ask you a personal question. Can we get deported for speaking a foreign language?
Huh?
Oh, probably.
You guys?
Watch it.
Yeah. We're gonna like.
Careful. I just look like a Trump supporter.
In America, I would stick with English.
Yep. You don't know.
You don't know who's gonna snap you
up.
You know,
Trump probably thinks he can speak Italian.
Oh.
You think
he
does?
Yeah, he probably does fake.
Because he's just saying ciao all the time.
He probably says stuff like that.
I just got the cheese.
Him.
I didn't realize. Like, I've been eating a lot of the greens, and the
his
dressing
cheese.
Is so.
His cheese is delicious.
Mmm. Mmm.
And this, though, this is
cheese.
Right now, I don't know what it is, but these little oranges are so good right now.
Oh, yeah.
Usually you have them at winter, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, but right now they're kind of coming out because I have an orange tree. They're starting, and these are Valencia oranges, so they have a particular flavor I find that are spectacular.
Oh, it's great. I had another orange today that was delicious.
Mm. Okay, so you get to try the new Amarone now.
New Amarone.
So I have a friend who has a kumquat tree.
These things take
fantastic.
4 years more or less to come to.
Tony Kameen has
this is a 2013.
Have you had a loquat?
This came out last year, so it takes 6 years. It takes about 5 years from the time they squeeze a grape to the time they actually bring it out to market. Most Amarones take about 5 years.
Yeah.
Right, so right now, the newest one I've seen was 2015. So help me with the math. That's
four years.
4 years.
Yeah.
So, I could have helped you with the math.
Thank you. Yeah, I just thought you were drinking.
I'm pretty good at. By the way, I was watching the prelims.
Yeah, throw that into his glass.
I was watching the prelims of the script spelling bee, and I was right on everything. Primitive.
You know all the words?
Yeah, it's the prelims. Like, when it's they get to the finals, yeah, like...
You're so dumb, you almost made us spill wine.
Yeah, like, some kid misspelled primitive, and I was like, oh, Hector, come on!
That sounds like it's spelled, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, I-T-I-V-E, not A-T-I-V-E.
Primative.
It's a good thing you weren't there in person to Hector.
Envoy? Fucking, I nailed that
E,
one.
Right, baby?
Envoy, yeah.
I don't
know that. E-N-V-O-Y. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it.
There you go. So I can stay. Even Trump will let me stay.
And the bell doesn't ding when you get it right. That's the weird thing.
Huh?
Right?
The bell rings when you get
it
wrong.
It's quiet
when you
get it
right. Well,
ask
Bill. If he takes that plate, he might hurt you.
You want to finish that fennel?
Yeah, there.
Can he take it now, Bill?
I want one more fennel.
Mm. Oh, take it away. Oh, my God.
The fennel.
Fresh. It's so crisp and fresh.
There's this place in Burbank. It's like, it's called Chicago style. I don't know. It's like, well, you're from Chicago, aren't
pizza?
You?
Taste Chicago?
Taste Chicago. And they make a great fennel.
It just closed.
Oh, they did?
Closed, yeah.
They make a great fennel salad there, oddly.
They did, yeah.
Why'd they close?
It's been open for years.
I heard it was the fennel salad that shut them down.
I talked to Chicago people, and they said it was...
Garbage?
It was BS, yeah.
But that fennel salad was delicious. It's the only thing I'd eat there.
Really? Okay.
No, no, put a little...
I looked forward to it.
What do you say... What do you say to the people who say what makes the New York pizza is the water there? Is that a myth?
Look, it's not a bad thing. it's not a wrong thing.
They do have better water there,
you think? But it's not a true thing either. Pizza is a combination of water, flour, and yeast. And those things are living organisms, especially the yeast, so that it'll react differently in every climate. It reacts differently here at the pizzeria between winter and summer. So you got to understand is that it is, so it's understanding what it wants to do. You can't control it, right? If you come to the understanding that the reason why pizza is exquisite is because it's the combinations of the sauce, the cheese, the dough. And the dough in itself depends on Mother Nature. Like sometimes you'll come and have dinner here at 6 o'clock and I'd be like, I don't have bread yet. And they'd be like, why don't you have bread? Because I said the yeast wasn't cooperating.
Right.
You know, it was a little cooler and it didn't rise and it's not ready and you gotta wait. Let me tell you a joke.
So take a walk, cocksucker. Take a walk.
Hey, let me filibuster here at your table.
Plus, we don't open until 5.
Yeah.
What's...
Like, have a Prosecco, like I did with you.
Yeah.
I bought 30 minutes with you.
That was great.
Yeah, that's what happened. You got us drunk first.
What isn't there, like, with sourdough, don't you have the mother
call a mother yeast, yeah.
The mother... Do you know about this?
I do not know the mother yeast.
Yeah.
Please explain, Sandro.
Well, you seem to know more about it than I do, Bill.
All
please
I know
tell
is
people.
That there's, like, a mother yeast, like a little piece of dough that every piece of sourdough, every sourdough loaf comes off
you
of.
You know, that's how you start with vinegar that way, too.
Yeah. You start with my making a particular
Excuse
yeast.
Excuse me, telling my story. This isn't a vinegar story.
Yeah.
It's a fucking sourdough story.
Bill is fully right. I mean,
I don't know what, but there's something.
So you start, you make a yeast, and then it depends how you make it to begin with.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different process. But then what you do is basically you're taking a piece of today's bread or dough.
Yeah.
And you're saving it. And rather than putting yeast tomorrow, you take a piece of that dough, and that dough will rise the bread tomorrow. right?
And what's that called?
That's the mother yeast. And then, yeah. And then a piece of tomorrow's bread, when you're making the dough, you take a piece and you save it and you add it to the next day's dough. And so you're basically, the dough will go for year and year and year without ever using new yeast.
And some mother yeasts are over 1,800 years old.
He made that up, I bet.
You know what it sounds?
I did. I made that up.
Sounds good
so
to me.
So good job, because I said it with such confidence. I thought you were going to fucking fall for it.
I believe it. I'm in. Some yeasts are over 1,800 years old.
Yeah. And tequila too.
There's the Last Supper mother yeast.
Yes, we got that too.
Have, yeah.
Hey, you guys, we're going to divide this episode into two parts. So join us next week for more from Amarone.
Snow peas, brie cheese, our plates are clean. We dined with Doug and Karen.
I like Donnie's dog and mommy.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.